Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off select styles. Plus, score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Gerard Mayo this morning, speaking to the media. It's Christian Arcand. It's Andy Hart's WEEI Afternoons. Nice to have you with us here today. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. If you'd like to chime in on anything we've talked about, we've hit all four teams so far today. Patriots, Red Sox, Bruins, and Celtics. The Patriots taking on the Chicago Bears on Sunday. Listen to WEEI Football Sunday morning, 10 to 1 with myself. Andy will be jumping in there as well. Fitzy, Tommy Curran, the whole gang. Mego, Scheim. It's a murderer's row of Patriots takes there for those 3 hours leading into the game. Interesting thing right there from
Gerard
Mayo.
The Six Rings postgame show.
And of course, the Six Rings postgame show, of course.
Jesus.
Heart and Lions. Oh, yeah, no Fitzy this weekend, right?
That's right. No Fitzy, no problem. Okay. Objective. We'll actually have a good show.
No shirt, no shoes, no Fitzy, no problem.
That's right.
There it is. All right, so that's all coming up this weekend. A lot of Patriots talk. Don't miss any of it. And you may want to miss that thing that Gerard Mayo just said, because it's pretty interesting how, we don't want to do any design runs. You don't? Have you not noticed that that's the only part of your offense that works is when Drake May takes off and runs? And I understand not wanting to purposefully have him run that much, because he hasn't been running that much purposefully. They're not calling for him to do that. He's doing that because he has to. And surprisingly, or not surprisingly, if you look at the roster, that's really the only effective thing they have in the entire repertoire, in the entire bag of offensive plays. The pocket breaking down and Drake May taking off is usually when they get their chunk plays. It's that, it's Marcus Jones punt returns, and it's not really all that much else. I'm starting to lose my voice here. Excuse me. Oh. But that's interesting. Why not? Why not design a run or two? Isn't that better than him having to take off when the pocket breaks down and running for his life? Isn't that a little bit more controlled, a little bit more on your terms that he's running? Like, it seems like a better situation than what they've been doing.
I could not disagree more, because I've seen them try to design runs for Ramondre Stevenson and Antonio Gibson,
point, yeah.
And those don't work.
It's true.
So I actually think he benefits if you can get three or four defenders running downfield with receivers, and then it breaks down. Gives him a better numbers game. Gives him, now I maybe only have to beat six guys by myself or five guys by myself. And I would say, I think he's more in control in a weird way when he's dropping back to pass. He's kind of scanning the field. He has everything, and I trust his athleticism and his decision-making for the most part as a runner, as an athlete, as a competitor. And if you design runs, you're designing hits, and I think that's what Gerard was indicating. And I would ask you, as well as Evan Lazar, why would I design runs? To what end? Are we trying to win games? Are we trying to, you know what I mean? Because I'm not trying to win games.
No, yeah, we're trying to win games. I mean, we're trying to score points. We're trying to pick up first downs. We're trying, right? Like, I mean, usually when I think of a design QB run, I think of short yardage and trying to pick up the first down. And they don't do that. And they, you know, like, I just sort of, that's what I think of generally when I think of design runs. And they don't have to be for big chunk plays. I'm not expecting that. But that's not, I don't think that should be out of the question.
So if you wanted to tell me in that situation, for example, in the preseason, remember when they had the goal line designed, it was a little read option, boom, and he walked right in,
right,
a little finger roll or something, didn't get hit at all, I don't believe. If you want to tell me some of those, okay, in certain situations on the goal line where you're telling him, listen, if the D end doesn't crash, give the ball. Like, you know, a 10% chance you're keeping it here, 90% chance you're giving it to Ramondre. Situations like that, I'm fine with, but as AVP sort of articulated 2 weeks ago talking about this topic, we know he's going to have to scramble 8 to 10 times a game,
mm-hmm,
because we're going to throw it 20 to 30 times, and we know we're basically a 50% pressure team, and half of those he's going to have to run for his life, because it wasn't just him. Jacoby Brissett, who's not a runner, was doing it all season long early in the year. So they have accepted the fact that they can't pass protect, and I appreciate that. A man needs to know his weaknesses, right? The first step towards fixing a problem is acknowledging you have it.
Sure.
And they've acknowledged that they can't pass protect, so therefore now you mix in these designed runs, you're just increasing the hits, and I don't see the end game in it. As I've said, in a year, maybe two, somewhere in the 2025, 2026 seasons where you're trying to win games and every game matters and you could be a wild card team by one game and one play and one score, one first down, whatever, then everything's on the table. Then I'm doing that. And also, hopefully by then, I have a better offensive line. My scheme is working better, because they don't have anything that's working well. You articulated that perfectly. Him running is pretty much the only thing they have that works well. But I think you could, you know, go to that well one too many times and then really regret it. So the ones that come naturally, fluidly, in the course of the game on pass plays, I like, because as I said, I think that takes some of the defenders out of the mix and it allows him to control it a little more on the edges, get out of bounds, slide, not slide, dive, the various things he's done. So this may be the one area where I kind of agree with Mayo and Alex Van Pelt and the way they're handling things.
No design runs. He ran eight times last week for 95 yards. The week before that, it was three runs for 46 yards, three for 18, five for 38 against Houston, two for 12 against the Jets. The three for 18 was against Jacksonville, and that's it. He has 21 rushes, 209 yards. That's 10 yards a rush, a touchdown. His longest was 26 yards. I guess the point is, that's sort of a nebulous term, it's the Bears this weekend, if other defenses start getting the tape on Drake May,
yep,
and the Patriots offense in general, it's so one-dimensional that if you take that away, and it's not even something that they set out to do, but if you take it away, if you have someone spying the quarterback and make sure he can't get out of the pocket and run like that, then you limit the offense. I think that at the very least, designing a run or two, I don't know. I mean, he's so good at it that it makes me think, you know, try it, right? Like, he's good. He's better than as good as most of the quarterbacks at taking off and running in the league right now. And since he started, we went over these stats yesterday. Since he started his first game, he's rushed for more yards than anyone. So, you know, like, that to me, that means something. That means you might have something here. You might have a weapon for your offense that you don't necessarily want to overuse. I agree with you, because you don't want to beat the kid up too much. But if it's something that can help you win games or at least transform this offense a little bit, I don't know. I just don't have a problem with it.
I take Drake's mentality, though. Prove to me that you can get the ball to Ramondre and let him run the ball a little bit, and then maybe we'll start adding Drake May runs. And they haven't done that. They need to prove. And also, I don't want him just running, because that's the other thing. So, okay, eight scrambles, five designed runs. We're up to 13, 14 plays. Mm-hmm. Usually, what do you have, 60 plays in a game?
Right.
So now a quarter of our plays are just him running. I want him throwing. I want him. What did he say? Was that this week where he said, I want to be a passer?
Yes.
I want to be a passer in this league.
That's what got me thinking about all this in the first place. And then hearing that, it's like, okay, well, I guess they want him to be a passer too. And he should be. I mean, he should be a pass first quarterback. But that doesn't mean you can't design a run or two here and there. It's just
He's so good. It comes naturally. The running comes naturally to him. The athlete comes naturally to him. What I think doesn't come naturally necessarily, I don't want to just say to him, but to this team right now, is the passing game. And that's where I want him to evolve. That's where I want the team to evolve. And I go back to what end? I'm not actually trying to win games. I'm not in, oh, we got to have it plays kind of. Okay, there's no got to have it plays. I mean, I guess if you wanted to go for two, a two-point play, if you want to tell me their best two-point play might be some zone read or something with Drake May, and you feel like there's a ton of value winning this game, this is going to catapult us emotionally and keep the culture together, maybe that's a situation where I'd allow for it. But other than that, I want them to prove they can block so Ramondre Stevenson can run, and I want them to prove they can throw the ball with Drake May, and hell, maybe that'll even set up some play-action passing and some other things off that if you start to combine all those factors together. So be a better offense. Don't just rely on your young stud rookie QB, because I think that's where you get in trouble. You run him into the ground.
You might be right about that. I just think at this point in the season, we know what this offense is. I don't think there's any surprises. I think we see it, and you might as well start trying to mine for what works. Steve is in Fall River. Go ahead, Steve.
How are you guys?
Good, Steve. How are you?
The last time I called, you lectured me after I hung up about the way teams in the NFL build their offensive lines.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, wow, I might be like Bill Belichick. I might be a dinosaur. Yep. The league must have passed me by. So I thought I'd do a little homework.
Okay.
And I looked at the AFC East, and I found out that there's one team with a first-round pick, and I wouldn't even call him a first-round pick. That's Tyron Smith in the New York Jets, who was a first-round pick like a long time ago. And they just picked him up this year. So
there's a time limit on being a first-round pick? That's interesting.
Expires.
I didn't.
Well, statute of limitations.
Well, he played with the Dallas Cowboys for 13 years. Then they picked him up. I consider him a free agent.
Okay, but I didn't say that he had to be drafted by the team, Steve. I didn't say the team had to draft him. I said he had to be a first-round pick. He was a top 10 pick.
All right, that's not going to hurt my point. There's the entire AFC, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Baltimore Ravens, the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. There's one legit, as you envisioned when you said it to me, Ronnie Staley of the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
First round pick six. We have 684, 263, 19. These are the draft they were picked. So I'll do the math for you. With your phony first round pick at the New York Jets, the guy that was 14 years for another team, that average draft pick of those eight teams is 80. Taking him out and giving him the phony at Tyron Smith, who played 13 years for somebody else and then got picked up for short money.
So eight teams out of the 32, and you think that makes your point, and one of them is an actual first-round pick? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
no, there's
really
actually two. That there's one. Well, you got an average of 80. The rest of them are sixth round, second round. How about Buffalo Bills, second round pick, 63rd in the draft. How about the other successful team in the league, the Kansas City Chiefs? They've got a guy, third round pick, 93, and they got
so
a guy waiting behind them who was picked around when one of our guys was picked.
Okay, so fine, but for the most part, in general, Steve, the majority of these left tackles, and a lot of them have gotten hurt this year, by the way, too. Like, Darrisaw got hurt.
Right.
A bunch of guys are out, so I don't know. I'll go back and check, and we can go through this thing with a fine-tooth comb. But when making my arguments about how to build an offensive line in the offseason, I went down each roster, and most of them, majority of them, were first-round picks. And either way, if you're going to say Tyron Smith doesn't count because he was drafted in the first round by another team, then this doesn't really, we can't really have a conversation, can we? The first round pick doesn't count because it was 13 years ago. Was it a first round pick or not? Like, come on. That's the point. Like, it's a high priority position. Same with wide receiver and quarterback and, you know, corners and things like that. It's a very edge rushers. Like, this is at the top of the line. A lot of times, that's what you end up having to do, and that's what teams do. And there's usually a tackle that goes in the top 10. He ends up being a starter, and that's how it is. It's not every single team, but it's a lot of them. That's all. That's the point I was making. And I think that if the Patriots want to be serious about it, they have to stop dinking around like they're doing right now and like they've been doing for a few years here. Like, this is serious. You have a rookie quarterback, someone that you want to protect, and you haven't really put in the capital or anything to do that. You've drafted and signed a bunch of right tackles, and they all can't play. So it's like, you know, Steve, we can do it your way. I mean, that's what they're doing right now. How's it going?
Well, and I'll leave the door open because at least in New England, they've had success with second-round picks. Matt Light was a second-round pick. Sebastian Vollmer was a second-round pick. They didn't even do that this year.
Right.
It was the third round, right? They went with Wallace and then Laydon Robinson in the fourth round were the linemen. They took Polk in the second round. I didn't really get his total call. I missed some of the numbers.
He was trying to say that the tackles don't go in the first round.
These are like the people that told me quarterbacks don't go in the first round. like during draft, well, you know, more quarterbacks, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you can find numbers and examples to do anything. Yes, the greatest of all time went in the sixth round, the 199th pick. But the reality is, if you're going to take a shot at a quarterback, most of the time you take a shot at a quarterback, not only in the first round, but at the top of the first round. And tackle has become similar. I don't know it's quite as weighted as high, because I do feel like there's been a number of tackles drafted even through like the early 20s, like 21, 22, 23, in that area. But most good tackles are come in the first round. Like, did he say the Bengals? Didn't they take a guy in the first round this year? Didn't they take Mims, the kid out of Georgia?
I think so. And Orlando Brown, I mean, he was a third round pick, I guess, but he was a hot free agent that they had to spend a ton of money on. So, like, you know,
I don't
the
really
Patriots aren't
Steve's
doing
point.
Any of that stuff. They're not drafting and they're not spending money on the guys who break out. So, you know, you tell me. Listen, you can keep doing it. Keep doing it this way. Keep doing it this way and see how that works out. It's going great so far.
Is that what Steve is advocating for? He wants them to continue to basement, like go bottom of the basement, like day two picks? And is that how he's desirous of putting together this offense?
I don't know. I think he just wanted to yell at me and so to show me the great research that he did. I think that's what that call was all about.
He was throwing a lot of numbers and averages at me.
I know. Like, that's always makes for good radio. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. After the break, we will come back with some midseason awards. Who is the midseason MVP, offensive player of the year, all that stuff for the NFL and for the Patriots? We're going to do the Patriots too?
Ooh.
Or do you want to just do the league?
We have a little breaking news.
Oh, do we?
Mild breaking news?
Yeah, hit the mild breaking news.
Sounder or no?
Yeah, go Sounder. Let's go Sounder.
Let's go big.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program.
This is breaking news. Breaking news on WEEI is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
All right, hit it, Andy.
According to Crap Sheet, Ian Rappaport at Rap Sheet on Twitter, Patriots claimed pass rusher Yannick Ngakoue, formerly of the Ravens, and if this was like 6 years ago, this might have been exciting.
Yeah.
But he's a named pass rusher.
He is. He's a name that you see on all those free agency lists, and you're like, oh, yeah, absolutely. I remember him, and then no one signs him.
Nope. Yeah, his best days are way, 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 way behind him. But we wanted something, right? We talked about they did nothing at the trade deadline to even add to the depth or the bottom part of the roster. You got a name player formerly of the Ravens, multiple times of the Ravens, right? Wasn't he on the Ravens, left, and then came back to the Ravens?
Yes. So here it is. Ngakoue started his career in 2016 with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's only 29. I feel like he's been around the league a long time. He's only 29. He was taken in the third round in 2016 by the Jaguars, played there until 2020 when he was traded to the Vikings for a second-round pick. He then was traded to the Ravens for a third and a conditional fifth. He was pretty good with them, I think. He had two sacks in the against Gardner Minshew, blah, 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 blah. Vegas Raiders, he signed a free agent deal with them in 2021. He was traded to the Colts for Rocky Asin. He then signed with the Bears, a one-year deal, started 13 games, and then signed with the Baltimore Ravens practice squad this past year, elevated to the active roster in week six. He was signed to the active roster on the 15th and just got waived yesterday. So there you go. Yannick Ngakoue, the latest Patriots pass rusher. And, yeah, it's something. I mean, he's done something, sure.
It's not nothing.
I'm looking up the numbers here. Let's see. Last year,
he's hanging on by a thread.
Yeah, he definitely is. Last year with the Bears, he had four sacks in 13 games. Year before that with the Colts, he had 9.5 sacks in 15 games. So, I mean,
okay.
Not the least. I don't know if he's the least productive pass rusher on this team. Like, right? We'll see.
So he's Josh Uche.
Yeah,
he
right.
Replaces Josh Uche, sort of a disappointing, but capable and has put up sacks in the past kind of pass rush.
Should we be concerned that he's been traded so much? I mean, he was a productive player early in his career. He's been traded a million times.
There certainly seems to be some baggage there, right?
Right. I don't know
I
what it is.
I think he had a bad contract dispute with somebody. I feel like I read that. I feel like he was a Pro Football Talk kind of like update guy at one point where you were getting things, how he was handling his business. But he's hanging on by a thread. That's the reality.
Okay, well, there you go. A little breaking news. Yannick Ngakoue here with the Patriots now after signing, after being waived, I should say, by the Baltimore Ravens in his second stint with them. For more on that, here is Stu.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long.
Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off select styles. Plus, score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
With what's trending. Lamar Jackson, awesome last night. What an awesome game that was in general, really. Two great quarterbacks in division going at it. A back-and-forth game. It seemed like Cincinnati was going to run away with it. The Ravens come on strong at the end. What did you think of those helmets, by the way?
I liked them.
I liked them, too.
Yeah, I liked them a lot, actually. That's a good alternate. That makes. And did you see the video of all the players getting them? And they were pretty jazzed up for them.
Were they? I didn't see that.
Yeah, they liked those. But, you know, it's easy to like things like that when you play well in them and you have Lamar Jackson as your quarterback. Some of the plays he made last night, his touch passing has come so far from early in his career. Not just that throw. There was a throw to Mark Andrews early in the game where he just kind of put it up where he could go get it. It was a beautiful throw. And then he still had some of the runs that he's known for. There was that one where he kept dropping back, three guys chasing him. Then he goes down the sideline. And
that was awesome.
He is not, and that's
did
where
he score
I,
on that, or did, was he short?
No, he got to like the
yeah,
one.
Yeah,
he almost got in. He was very, very close. Mm-hmm. But that's where I say I like Drake May as a runner, but he's not in the Mike Vick, Lamar Jackson.
No.
Like they can do special. They can make elite athletes, big, fast men look just stupid on an NFL field.
Yeah, like you ever when you were a kid, like your dog grabs something and you're chasing the dog and he just like punks you. Like, he fakes one way and goes the other way, and you're like, sitting there with your ankles broken, like, God, that dog. That's, like, what Jack's, you know, like, those guys, they make it look like when I used to chase my dog around when he grabbed my sock or something. And it's just, you have no chance of catching him.
And then they F with you because they ran that one play on the goal line where he tucked it like he was running, and then he pulls it up and just lobs it. Well, what am I supposed to do?
Nothing.
You tucked it. If you tuck it, you should have to run. You shouldn't be allowed to throw after that. That's not fair for an edge defender to have to deal with that.
Yeah, it's kind of true. 617-779-7937. Mark is down in Kentucky. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Andy, I love you. You are the heartbeat of Boston Sports Radio. Arkan?
Yes?
You are, sir, growing on me.
Hey, right. Like a rash.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey, I need t-shirts.
Or like a mushroom. You know what I mean. But anyway.
Like a fungus. What's up?
Here's the thing. As you gentlemen both know, I've been a huge Pats fan since 74, the year I was born, and raised in Franklin, Massachusetts. Now I live in Kentucky, and I've seen the ups and downs, of course, like we all have. It's very simple to me. And you both gentlemen are extremely intelligent when it comes to sports radio, and especially the Patriots.
Sure.
Look, you have to protect your king, right? That's the number one focus. Protect Mr. Drake May. Throw him a couple, you know, nuggets, somebody to throw to, you know, little weapons here and there. Our defense, we get our health back next season. I'm a half glass, half full type individual. Next year, I'm telling you, brothers, we are going to the playoffs, and we're going to make some noise. Drake May is one of those players that makes you-know-what out of you-know-what, okay?
And that's all he's got to work with this time around, Mark. Thanks for the call. That's the second caller we've had that says the Patriots are going to be in the playoffs next year. We've had two calls that said that today.
I like that. It's also the first call we've had that said, I'm the heartbeat of Boston Sports Radio.
That's true.
I like that.
That was pretty...
I think I should get a t-shirt, though, with heart, H-A-R-T beat instead of E-A-R-T.
I think that was what the gentleman was saying there.
Exactly.
I think that was the point.
Yeah. Exactly. I like where Mark's head's at, and you're growing on him, so that's good, I guess.
That's true. That's true. Like a wart. Danny is in the car. Hey, Danny.
So if we are going to protect the king, gentlemen, I think we need three or four 300, 400-pound linemen.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take Jeremy Tunzel as the example. Round one, 2016, Miami.
Yep.
Jeremy Tunzel, is it? I'm sorry.
It's Laramie Tunzel. That's okay.
Laramie.
Yeah.
Casario then gives up a first-round pick down in Houston. He's a stud offensive lineman. And so I go back to that point of, hey, we need offensive linemen. I don't care if it's guards, tackles, whatever it is they have to do to leverage to get players in the draft or free agency. I'd take it one step further and take all the best offensive linemen in the Canadian Football League and also bring them down for a tryout. I'll listen and hang up.
Okay. Mining the CFL for offensive linemen. That's not what I was not expecting the call to go that way. That was That was interesting. Laramie Tunzel, you remember when he had that bong mask? Remember that video came out of him with the bong mask before the draft? That was hilarious. That was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And everyone was like, oh, a bong mask? Where do you get one of those? that was a very, very funny thing. And then it didn't affect anything, and he gets drafted, and he's had a great career. So I guess, I don't know. A lot of people freaked out about that.
Point of clarification, I believe Bill O'Brien is the one who traded for him. With the Texans. I believe it predated.
He's been there that long? Wow, okay.
I think so, and I think people criticized O'Brien for giving up too much to go get him, and now he's been seen as a reason why they were able to have a young quarterback have so much success early. Now, I know this year, their offensive line's a bit of an issue, and he's getting sacked quite a bit. I honestly know nothing about the Canadian Football League and their offensive linemen and whether they're any good ones. I haven't heard a lot of stories about guys being great in the CFL and then they come down here and play offensive line here. I'd rather get all the good linemen in like the SEC.
Yeah, that'd be better. I think that's better than trying to go to the Arena League or like the USFL or the CFL or whatever the hell else. NFL Europe, all these things that don't exist anymore. No thanks. I will say this. You ever watch one of those games? Like, you ever see, like, the highlights from the games? The rules are totally different.
Oh, yeah.
And they kick the ball out of bounds and stuff. Like, it's very funny. Yeah. Like, when it looks like a normal game until, like, they do something weird, and you're like, oh, yeah, right. This is, like, that funny football they play up here.
Yeah, you can have, like, the forward motion and the end zones are twice as big. It's 20 yards instead of 10, right, in the back of the end zone.
Right, and I think isn't the goalpost, like, right in the middle of the end zone, like in the old days?
I don't know, but I'm an advocate for that. I think they should bring that back to the NFL. The goal post should be on the goal line. It's where it belonged.
Yeah, it's going to be easy to screen defenders, but hey, whatever.
Exactly.
All right, without any further ado, we are halfway through the NFL season, so let's hand out some awards. All right, where do you want to start with this? We got MVP, we got Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, and Coach of the Year. Where would you like to start, Andy?
Let's start with Coach of the Year.
Okay. And are we doing the NFL and the Patriots or just the NFL?
Oh, I have both.
Okay, I have both, too.
Bill Belichick.
No.
Nope.
All right, well, you want me to start or you want to start?
You can start. Go ahead.
My coach of the year, and it's not just because I bet on this, is Andy Reid. We are halfway through the season. Patrick Mahomes is not playing very well. Travis Kelce is a shell of himself. That entire offense is basically nothing, and they're undefeated. They're an undefeated team. I know they have a good defense. I don't think it's just because of the defense. I think it's because in situations at the end of these games, and if you said this 20 years ago, you get laughed right off your bar stool. But Andy Reid is as good at that stuff as anybody in the league. He's good at putting pressure on other coaches. He just gets it. And this team just wins. And I don't know what else you can really say about that. If Mahomes in the offense was looking great and putting up big numbers, I wouldn't say this about Andy Reid. Better not. But the fact that they don't and they're still undefeated, it's got to be him.
Absolutely. Andy Reid, I continue to argue, is making a run at being the best coach of this generation and dethroning Bill Belichick with his team's accomplishments and the longevity of his resume and doing it in multiple cities and everything went back. But everything you just said about him, winning a different way, bringing in DeAndre Hopkins and immediately finding ways to get him injected into the offense and making plays for the offense, the whole thing. Andy Reid, I will go Patriots Coach of the Year, and this is going to be a stunner. Alex Van Pelt.
Wow, that is a stunner.
I think for the work he's done with Drake May. I'm sorry. I love Drake May, but don't tell me Alex Van Pelt, who we were told was the lone voice that Drake May is going to hear, hasn't done a lot of work to get Drake May on the field, to get Drake May confident. Drake May, you listen to him talking about when they went too high and they dropped the robber and they dropped eight and they rushed five. Like, he sounds like a veteran NFL quarterback breaking down plays. Don't tell me that Alex Van Pelt shouldn't get some credit for that. I don't love his play calling. I don't love his scheme. But I love what he's done with the quarterback.
My Patriots coach of the year is Jeremy, don't call me Jerry Springer, the special teams coordinator who I heard today with Jones and Keefe. I like his hits with Jones and Keefe. And also, I think the special teams group has probably been the most consistent out of any of the three. You get pretty good kick returns there from Marcus Jones. I feel like the kicking game has been good. Not great, but good. And the coverage has been fine. So I give it to Jeremy Springer, but it's because I didn't really want to give it to anybody else. All right, who's your rookie of the year?
So my rookie of the year in the National Football League, I think, is an easy one. I think it is Jaden Daniels, the quarterback of the Washington Commanders.
Layup.
Who some people think may be an MVP candidate. He's changed everything there.
I think he's
changed
in the MVP conversation, absolutely. Yeah.
He's changed everything there. And then the Patriots, I think this is the easiest one we will
ever do.
No, it is one guy who's played 3 1/4 games.
Jaheim Bell.
The biggest star on the team. Drake May.
Drake May is my Patriots rookie. My regular rookies, Jaden Daniels. I did a defensive rookie of the year, too. Jared Verse, the edge rusher there, went
to
18th or 9th. He's been awesome for the Rams so far this year.
He does the Dikembe thing when he rushes the quarterback after he gets him. I like it.
I'm a fan of his, and I liked him coming out of school. So, yeah, that's my defensive rookie of the year. How about your defensive player of the year? I'll start with this one. For me, it is Trey Hendrickson of the Bengals, who, despite them losing that game last night, leads the league in sacks. And he's doing that, you remember, with no help on that defensive front. I mean, it's just him. He's the only one getting any pressure. He's the only one on his team that has any QB hits. There's other guy like, you know, TJ Watt and Myles Garrett and some of these other guys who are part of big, tough defenses and big, tough defensive fronts are great players. But I'm giving it to Hendrickson, first of all, because I'm tired of Garrett and I'm tired of Watt, and because Hendrickson has to do it all by himself. So Trey Hendrickson is my defensive player of the year at the half.
Well, you should be tired of Watt because he's the best defensive player in football. He's my defensive player of the year. I think that Steelers defense is really good, and he is the centerpiece of it. I think he's got like 6.5, 7 sacks. He's got a respectable number, but he's got forced fumbles, fumble recoveries. He is around the football, impact player, and he got bonus points from me for his new Dick's commercial with his other brothers, JJ,
and
the fullback one. Have you seen that commercial? It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
It made me laugh. It was a creative. You don't see too many very creative commercials like that. So the Watt family gets a little over-the-top credit here, Defensive Player of the Year.
I thought those JJ Watt Domino's commercials where he was like lifting the pizza and pretending it was heavy, I don't know why I thought that was funny. Like, there wasn't anything like specially funny about it, but he's funny. I don't know. I think he's funny.
I like him. I know
taking over for Peyton Manning.
Yeah, Patriots fans don't like him. He's always rubbed them the wrong way. You people don't care for him for whatever reason. I like him. He's funny.
I'll take J.J. Watt and the Watt family over Peyton Manning any day of the week. Patriots Defensive Player of the Year. I think I know who this is going to be.
Is there any other option than Gonzo?
There is not.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't. I don't know if it was a trick question.
No.
Gonzalez, number one corner on this team. Now, you poo-pooed him as a top 3 to 5 young corner in the league, but I think that's what he's trending
toward. I'll back off of that. I think he's probably up there. I was just, okay. I couldn't think of, I immediately thought of like Sertan and Gardner and some of those guys. I think he might have passed Gardner this year. Gardner's having a down year.
Yep.
But yeah, I'd say he's up there. He's top 5 at least, sure.
And please don't hold his hits with the Jones and Keefe program against him. He's a man of little words. And let's be honest, Rich Keefe asks bad questions. Those are some weird questions.
All right. I have Gonzalez, too. Let's see. Offensive player of the year. How about this? Can I give both of mine? Because they're both the same name.
Wait, what?
My offensive player of the year for the NFL and for the Patriots, I'm going to give them both right now because they're both Henry. Derrick Henry, King Henry of the Baltimore Ravens, is the offensive player of the year in the NFL, I think. I think this is an easy one. He scored a touchdown every single week of the season. And Hunter Henry is my offensive player of the year for the Patriots. So those are my Henrys, and those are my offensive players of the year.
So I have a Henry for the Patriots and a Henry that was considered for the NFL. Obviously, Hunter Henry has been the only consistent, reliable. We talked about the other day, his numbers are on pace for career years and receptions and yards, even if the touchdowns aren't quite there. For the NFL, I'm going to go where my money is. I'm going to put my mouth there. And that would be Saquon, I jump backwards, Barkley. I think he's a legit candidate. I think it's Henry and Barkley kind of going back and forth
Agreed.
Here. He is a centerpiece of that Eagles offense and that play he made last week. Did you see there was a clip making the rounds? I think a high school player tried to do it last night.
So I think the high school kid did it first.
Oh, it didn't go well.
No.
He got like earth slammed. Rock bottomed or yeah. whatever. I don't even know.
It was
tombstoned, whatever you want to call it.
Whoever's running the Dove Climbing account now, he's got it. That's where I saw it. It's rough. Yeah. I wouldn't recommend any of you high school kids listening. You got a game tonight. Don't do the backwards hurdle. It's probably not going to go well. All right. And finally, MVP of the league. Andy, go ahead.
We watched him play quarterback for the Ravens last night. He is the best player in the league. He is the best athlete. He has so much more touch on his passing now. He's had multiple perfect passer ratings. He can make you look silly with his feet. He has a better surrounding cast than ever, and I think that's making his job easier. Like, he can throw it to Zay Flowers, and then Zay Flowers can do little water bug stuff yep. all over the field and make plays. But Lamar Jackson, remember when the Patriots passed on him?
Sure do.
They should have taken him. Well, a lot of teams can feel the same way because he is the best player in football right now, and he might win another MVP.
I had a hard time with this because I think there's a lot of good options, including Lamar Jackson, but I landed on Jared Goff. Jared Goff, who is having a monster season in Detroit, on pace right now for about 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, and 9 interceptions, a 115 QB rating. He's a statue back there, so I'm not talking about him like he's some dynamic playmaker with his feet or anything, but in terms of running that offense and hitting his guys, and he does benefit from a good supporting cast, sure, but he gets him the ball, he gets it on time, and he's been as consistent as anybody this year. He's been better than Mahomes. I'd put him up there with the Jacksons, Burrows, everybody. I think he is a top 5 to top 3 quarterback in the NFL today, and he's my MVP. Who's your Patriots MVP?
You can't spell MVP without May.
True.
Because May is the best damn player on this team. He's the only one we want to watch, and I feel kind of bad giving an award. So they played 9 games, and the guys played 3 games in a quarter, and we're giving the award to him. But the reality is, that's the way it works. He's played the latest, greatest, most important games. Maybe earlier in the year I would have given it to Jacoby Brissett, or Ramondre Stevenson had a couple early good games. But we talked about it. The only guy on the offense, the centerpiece of the offense is Drake May, so that's your MVP.
With your reasoning, that's why I went with Christian Gonzalez. Christian Gonzalez is my MVP of the Patriots this
year. Wow, a defensive MVP.
A defensive MVP, and it's only because May hasn't played enough. That's the only reason. He'd be the MVP if he played 5 games or 6 games or something. But 3, that's 1/3 of these games here through the first half. And Gonzalez has been consistent every single week, so I feel like that's shortchanging him a little bit to give it to May. By the end of the season, I'm sure it'll be May, but right now for me, it's Gonzalez. There you go. Those are our mid-season NFL awards right here on WEEI Afternoons. Thank you very much. Thank you.
We should call them the hosties.
The hosties. That's not bad.
Well, because we're the hosts.
I like that.
And we'll call them the hosties.
We are the hosts. That's true. Host one and host two.
The hosties with the mosties.
The Bengals, who lost last night, are a team that drafted a quarterback 1 year and then had another high draft pick the next year, and it looks like the Patriots are going to be right on track to be doing that exact same thing. Should they copy the Bengals? We'll discuss that next. Another good quote after the game. That was Ja'Marr Chase. If you missed it, Ja'Marr Chase last night almost had 300 yards receiving. He had 265 yards, 3 touchdowns. He was unbelievable in that game last night. And they have a 2-point conversion chance. Which I'm glad they went for. I think it was right of the Bengals to go for the 2-pointer there. Jackson had just scored a touchdown drives on his last 4 drives. You don't want to mess around with that. You'd been playing well on offense too. You're a good, strong offense, and you got a guy who's been absolutely unconscious the entire game in Ja'Marr Chase. So what do? They drop back to pass. Mike Gesicki gets held. He throws it to the other tight end, who's about a yard short of the goal line anyway, even if he did catch it, which he didn't. And meanwhile, Ja'Marr Chase in single coverage at the top of the screen runs into the end zone, goes along the back baseline, and Burrow doesn't even look at him. And I just don't understand. I don't understand how at that point in the game you don't go to Ja'Marr Chase, which is not the point of this segment, but I just wanted to bring that up again because, listen, you know, there's some times where you want to you fake somebody out. Oh, everybody knows he's going to that guy. They're going to put all these – he was single coverage. It was one-on-one. You don't throw a ball up there and let him make a play. That's unbelievable to me.
Can I bring up something I don't understand as a defense?
Sure.
The long touchdown, the one he hot-dogged where he jogged along the – how do you let him get that open?
Like
the earlier one where he caught it over the middle and then kind of outran people and cut down the field, whatever – that's understandable. He's a great playmaker, but I will let any of those other Gesicki, is it Hudson?
Yeah.
Who's the guy? All those other guys, Burton. If those guys beat me, they beat me. I'm putting two or three guys on Chase at all times. He caught that ball in stride, and there wasn't a player within, I'm going to say, 6 yards of him, somewhere in that range, 7 yards of him. How does that happen? How can you tackle him if you have to? Take the penalty.
Yeah.
To me, that's inexcusable. Like, that's bad. But yeah. I don't understand it. Whatever. We'll move on. And I agree with you on the two-point conversion. I'm going to my best guy. I agree with him. He's always open. He likes to use that line. And it's true. When he's hot, there's no better receiver in football. I know there's debate between him, Justin Jefferson. But when he's on, when Ja'Marr Chase is on, and the other thing is when Joe Burrow is on.
Right.
They might be I'm not going to say might be. Argue with me if they're the best combo in football. Because I think you can say top two receiver with top three quarterback, nobody can match that. Sam Darnold and Kirk Cousins are not as good as Joe Burrow. So that's the, like, I know people have mixed feelings about fades in those situations. Oh, I hate that play call. I don't know. With Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, I don't hate a fade because they're two of the best in the game. I expect them to complete it more often than not.
Especially in single freaking coverage. I mean, come on. It's not like he can't jump for the ball. He had a leaping end zone touchdown earlier in the game. It was a great play. Yep. You throw it up there, let him go get it. I can't believe they didn't give him a chance. But that's not the reason why I wanted to play that. The reason why I wanted to play that is because the Patriots, much like the Bengals, just drafted their quarterback. Ballyhooed top three pick. I know Burrow was first overall, but work with me here. And it looks like they're going to be right back in the lottery again next year. You look at the Bengals, and I know they haven't won anything, but you got a real connection there with him and Chase. Now, they got to pay Chase, and that's the whole thing, and whatever. That's their problem to deal with. But as far as the Patriots are concerned right now, it seems like, to me anyway, you look at the wide receiver group, and I know that it's not as good as last year's, but I think it's going to continue to evolve over the course of the season and bowl season and everything else. Guys emerge. There's already some good guys out there, and guys that I would love to have on the Patriots. The kid from Arizona, Travis Hunter, you name it. Like, there's other guys out there that I think are going to be good pros. But is this now, do you think they should copy the Bengals? Do you think they should do what the Bengals did with their rookie quarterback? You're back in the lottery again. Now let's get them a blue chip wide receiver in this draft and let them grow up together. It seems like that's the move.
Well, it's growing on me because it also seems like there's a lack of blue chip elite talent in terms of consideration for the line pick,
right?
The tackle pick. And I'm not forcing a pick. I'm not taking a pick in that says here I need a tackle, so I'm taking a tackle with the sixth pick or the fourth pick. Nope. If the tackles aren't worth it, and if they're not even tackles, that's the other consideration, if they're actually guards and misfits, whatever.
Right.
Some of it I also think has to do with what predates the draft. I know we look at these as sort of theoreticals, hypotheticals, but, you know, I mean, if you can swing a trade for T. Higgins, does that alter the way you look at it? Probably, because now you have a number one receiver, you hope. You have Pop Douglas, so the next receiver you're drafting, you're hoping is a 2/3 that really sets you over the top.
Yeah.
But if you go sign Ronnie Stanley, if he actually hits free agency, then I'm all in on the young receiver. Then, because I think I would prefer to do the Bengals model, to have the quarterback under a rookie contract, the receiver under a rookie contract, let them really grow together over the next 3, 4, 5, 6 years, and then pay them. Quite honestly, I'm really, fingers crossed, I'm paying them. I want to have the problem of deciding whether I give the quarterback, at that point, probably $75 million a year, and do I give the wide receiver $45 million a year. I want to have,
because you want them both to deserve it. You know?
Yeah, like, we've lived the life where you don't have to worry about that.
Right.
You never thought about it with N'Keal Harry or Isaiah Wynn or, you know, Mac Jones. You thought about it maybe for a little bit at the end of that rookie season, but we've never had that problem where you're wondering about how could I possibly sign all these guys. You want to have that problem. So I'm leaning, and then there's the other part of me that's this I admit is totally selfish. My whole idea that this is entertainment. What's going to be more instantly entertaining next year, a left tackle or a wide receiver? Hopefully the wide receiver.
Wide receiver, for sure.
Right? You know what I mean? So there's a selfish part of me that wants to be entertained and wants to have Drake May have people that can make plays and make him look better, not drop it when he makes great plays.
Yeah, that's very fair. In the drafts after that, so 2020, they take Burrow and Higgins rounds 1 and 2. So Higgins was drafted before Chase and was considered a good prospect that year. But 2020, was that the... No, that wasn't. I'm thinking that wasn't Nikhil Harry. It was the year after that. So, yeah, they got those two guys, one and two, first and second round. Jamar Chase, fifth overall in 2021, and a tackle, Jackson Carmen, who I don't know if he's still on the team. I'm not sure if he is or not. I don't know if he made it or not. But either way, that's the direction that they went in. They went quarterback, wide receiver, tackle. And, you know, I mean, they tried to do that. The Patriots tried to do that. Their T. Higgins was Jalen Polk, which obviously isn't working out the same way. But if they get back into the lottery and they go wide receiver again and try and figure out tackle later on in the draft, you know, listen, it's not ideal. It's not exactly how I would do it. But if you can't get one of those premier tackles in the in free agency, then that's the order I would go in. I'd rather go in that order than the other way around, because they've just missed on so many second-round receivers, third-round receivers over the years. They miss on all their receivers, if we're being perfectly honest here. I mean, they barely ever hit on one. So I say take the guesswork out of it, get the blue chipper, and then, you know, later on you try and find a tackle. And, I don't think it's ideal. I just argued with Stephen Fall River about getting these first-round tackles, but if you only have one first-round pick, I'd go receiver there. I'd rather do that.
And then I'll go back to my age-old argument. The Bengals lost a Super Bowl, many believe, because their line sucked in that game.
Sure.
The Chiefs lost a Super Bowl because many believe their line sucked in that game. They were in the Super Bowl. That means they were one of the two best teams in football, riding receivers and quarterbacks and offense and finding ways to cover up for really bad offensive lines. So therefore, we have recent modern examples where you can win with great quarterback play, great receivers, that working together, and just finding a way to cover up an inept line. And both of those teams have subsequently tried to spend a boatload of money, like Joe Tooney, Orlando Browns, the Juwan, the guy who's always offsides, the right tackle. In Kansas City.
Oh, Juwan. I know what you're talking about, but
whatever his name is. But they started their whole process with an elite quarterback and an elite wide receiver. Now, obviously,
Jonah Williams, right?
No, not Jonah Williams. Jonah Williams, the guy that went to Arizona that we wanted. Juwan Jennings, maybe? Does that sound right? The right tackle for the Chiefs? He's always offsides. He came from the Jaguars. I think it's Juwan Taylor.
Yep.
Anyway, the point is, they got their receivers, they went to the Super Bowl, and then they added the offensive lines later. I'm okay with that plan. If they want to get Drake May a receiver or two, and they go to a Super Bowl, and then we bitch that you lost the Super Bowl because your offensive line stinks, okay, we'll keep chasing the offensive line. I just want to get back to winning games, and in this league, it certainly looks like, for the most part, you win games by having a great quarterback and then a couple really good wide receivers. They have zero, so they better start collecting good wide receivers.
They have none of that stuff. Joining us next, Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, will be on with us here as we move into the 5 o'clock hour. We will also have our Chicago Bears scouting report. That's all coming up at 5:30 as we wrap things up here for the week on WEEI Afternoons.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off select styles. Plus, score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.